I chose this idea to speak on because of Brad and Chelsea and their family's presence here with us this morning, that I wanted to partner with them, and we already are as a church. In fact, our family, through Brocky and our church where I served before, has also partnered with them throughout the years. And before we get to this, it really does tie in. There's some guys sawing there with a two-man saw, and then there's another saw that we'll talk about in a minute. But I don't know if you can, I'm going to put a challenge to you, Nathan. Can you throw up the picture of the carpenters from the very start of their slideshow? It's the one that's in the bulletin, if you can't. There's a picture of Brad in the bulletin. Well, it's actually the whole family, but Brad's the one I want to talk about most. Do you see his guns in that? I'm married to a woman. I know where I'm at as far as that, but I was drawn to Brad in that picture and the guns that he has, and it was reminded me the first time I think I met Brad. I'd heard about Brad, maybe saw him running around as a child at different times, but when Brad started to experience the call to missions, and as my wife heard about it, and she said, we're going to have him up here, and so we did at our church, and I don't for sure how old Krista was then, but middle school maybe early middle school, and Krista just couldn't get enough of Brad. I mean, she just stared at him, and it was like a superhero was in her presence. And actually, when Brad spoke at our church then at Grinnell, it was the first time I started introducing missionaries as superheroes, that there's a superhero among us today. And partly because of the way Krista treated him, that he was bigger than life. He was a rock star. But he was beyond a rock star. And, well, with those guns, he's Thor almost. So whether he's chopping his own wood or if that kid's really heavy or what. But that's, sorry. When you're at Origins, maybe, you know, get a little squeeze on there and bless them and all that. But with Brad and Chelsea and their family here today, it's just one more opportunity for us as a congregation, as a body of believers, to realize that we are partnering with superheroes locally here, with things we support in the college and adopting kids. Actually, we've been adopted by one or two students already. I'm not sure how that works, but will you be my adoptive parent? It was before the program ever, we were invited to adopt someone, so we're not sure. But back to my other slide, I didn't move it here. It was part of the things I sold. I moved enough stuff here the way it was, but this thing off here to the side, I had one of those for a long time. When my grandfather, who a half mile down the road from us, who he and my grandmother were youngsters during the Depression, so, you know, they didn't throw anything away. And that's sort of part of my problem of trying to part with stuff, as I have their voice in my head. When my grandfather passed away, we pulled out 8 lawnmowers out of his garage, none of which were running. But you might need a part, you know, because they're all made alike, right? You know, so, but one of the things I did take was this saw over here, and I was always disappointed because it didn't have 2 handles, because I always thought growing up in the middle of nowhere where I didn't have any friends, it might have been just the neighborhood or the fact that it was the middle of nowhere, but I always thought it'd be fun to, if you're going to saw, to have a buddy, you know, you could talk with. And I thought, so the saw I get has no buddy. And then one day somebody said, well, you know why? Do you know why that one has that built that way? It's an ice saw. You don't want to be on the other end. When you're in Wisconsin and upper Minnesota, you don't want to be on the bottom of the ice. This was long, you know, before refrigeration, they didn't have a scuba guy down there, you know. So, but you have these other guys with, you know, arms like Brad. They're working hard, and they have a partner, but 2 are better than 1. Especially when you're sawing logs, but maybe not so much when you're working with ice. So today our scripture is from 2 scriptures from one of the wisest men, or who knows, but King Solomon, wise, 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 wise. 2 scriptures from Solomon, 1 from Proverbs and 1 from Ecclesiastes. So let's throw those up there and look at those this morning. The first one, you're all familiar with this, is iron sharpens iron, so one person sharpens another. When we read the carpenters' newsletters and their emails, we get sharpened. we change because we're working with them and we're praying for them. And then two people are better off than one, for they can help each other succeed. If one person falls, the other can reach out and help. But someone who falls alone is in real trouble. Someone who falls alone, they're in real trouble. Pray with me. God, today may the words of my mouth and the thoughts of our hearts change us. May they sharpen us. May they make us realize that we're not in this alone, but also look for others who may feel alone, who may feel lost. Help us to be partners. We pray in Christ's name. Amen. So two are better than one. Started watching a reality show, and I avoid those a lot unless they have like manly equipment in. And there was one about from 09 that ran 2 or 3 years, Swamp Loggers. Did you ever watch Swamp Loggers? It was somewhere in North Carolina, so just the way they talk, I like. I mean, they talk like Southern Kansasans on steroids, you know? And they had big equipment, these giant track hoe machines that had saws and grabbers all in one, and they'd just be in this swamp because that's where the great wood was and nobody else had harvested, so it was old. And they'd be dragging, and they'd have these giant four-wheel drive tractors, you know, with big, like mud, you know, like the monster truck vehicle tires, and they'd be dragging logs out, and then there were these things they chopped. But then something would break, and they were a team, and so Bobby, the owner of the company, of course, if you're from South Carolina, your name's Bobby, you know, and Bobby, he was always encouraging the guys, because if they get this many loads out, then there was a bonus and a big barbecue at the end, and so they're always working towards a load, but if something always broke, because that's what makes reality TV shows exciting, and then, you know, they're operating at 50% or 75% or whatever capacity, but these swamp loggers, they were a team. And to watch them work and operate as a team, and when one member would let the team down, he got pulled over for speeding, or he had too many heavy logs, and he was overweight, and then all of a sudden he couldn't drive, and so then they were behind, and the team would suffer. Teams. Partners. How many of you had a little Olympic fever the last few weeks? Did you get the Olympic fever? Yeah, I didn't have TV. I still don't have TV. It's a really strange season for me. And I was thinking about maybe hooking the TV up, and then Brocky looked at me the other day and said, "You know, Todd, I think our marriage is better since we haven't had TV." That is not the face I made. I went, "You are right." So we're still processing through whether we're going to get TV or not, but some of you are eventually going to catch me looking through your window to watch the Dodgers, and I don't think that's going to go well. But the Olympics, you know, I like all the stuff, but I like watching the relays. They're so from the swimming, you know, and I always wonder how they know when to jump, you know, because, you know, but they do, and those are things. And then the track relays, and I was thinking, When Krista ran a lot of relays in track, and she still does in college, but in high school it was different because, you know, there were certain people on a relay that would respond differently. Like, I'm going to do better because I don't want to let my teammates down. There were some that came in with that attitude. And there were a few of her teammates, certain meets, you know, that came in with the attitude, well, I know so-and-so will bail me out. I'm not going to work quite as hard this time. I'm going to save myself for my individual race. So I'm going to not quite go all out. So sometimes having teams, they can affect us, and we need to realize this: as iron sharpens iron, we can bring each other up. But we also, there's that pressure sometimes of somebody else is counting on me that makes us maybe even perform better, to do things that maybe we didn't think we could do. There's pressure that's kind of bad sometimes, you know, where I'm under so much pressure. But there's also sometimes when pressure from others, maybe pressure's the wrong word, but encouragement, being spurred on. Growing up where I did, I called them neighborhood friends, which is about a 6-mile radius in order for me to have any friends. But in this 6-mile radius, there were 2 or 3 guys. And when a feed truck would show up with 50-pound bags, you wanted to have some of your buddies there. So, you know, sometimes I'd happen to invite Darren Trocamoyan or Scott Kobish, and we had no Smiths or Joneses in my neck of the woods. They were Kobishes and Trocamoyans and Flommers and other people you couldn't pronounce, but because quite frankly, nobody else wanted to live there. So, So I'd make sure they were there, and we'd be unloading the semi with 50-pound bags. You know, pretty soon here'd come Darren with two bags, you know. You know, oh, yeah, you know, I do, you know, two, that's all you got, you know. So, no, I really didn't carry more than two. And here comes Scott Cobbish with two bags. And you think, well, you know, 250 pounds, that's 100 pounds. You got to realize Scott Cobbish, through his junior year, wrestled 98 pounds. Really? That was the weight, the lowest weight class in South Dakota was. So here's, and he was not obviously a 98-pound weakling, because here he comes with 250-pound seed bags, you know. So, but that kind of pressure, stacking hay bales. You know, if you're, if, you know, you kind of, you push each other. There's other times, maybe you're not the best dancer and your wife is, and she says at a wedding, hey, let's go dance. You know, that's sometimes pressure, but your partner, she helps you, and you get through it. And then she says, hey, it's the father-daughter dance, and you should go get your two girls, and you should dance with them. And I go, honey, Quaker pastors don't dance. And she says, you're going to. And I said, you know, our marriage is better since we got rid of the TV. And then I go do it. Scripture says, the wisest guy, probably whoever lived, the wisest king anyway, we'll give him that. It's good to have a partner. Why? Because sometimes times get hard. They can be tough. They can be taxing. They can be hard. And so we're going to point number one. I don't know really. I probably, that was the introduction. And so times, they can be tough. That's the ice saw in action, by the way, and I don't know if you can really pick it out of the picture, but if you look really close to the blade, as it's coming out of the ice, some water's coming with it, and it's freezing almost instantly. You know what we call that? South Dakota. Just imagine how cold it is. So your ice, your water is coming up out of the ice, and then it's freezing along the ice almost instantly. And this guy goes, hey, Grandpa, what are we going to do that's fun today? We're going to go cut ice, grandson. So life's hard. It's difficult. There's too much month at the end of the money. You get a report. Hey, I said that. Okay, you got that. Thanks. So there's a report from the doctor that your tummy does a backflip, or there's suddenly a knot in your throat that wasn't there 10 seconds ago, and the doctor says, well, this is what it looks like. And then God brings partners in those hard times, and some of them are new friends, but some of them are old friends, but he brings them in, and they help us wait, and they wait with us for it to work out. But then sometimes they wait when we both know it's not going to work out, but they wait with us anyway. And they're there when it's not okay. Sometimes they just help us to wade through it and to push through. Sometimes they're there just to yell as we wrestle with it ourselves. I know Iowa and Oklahoma are big wrestling states. You guys ever, I know that high school wrestling, you kind of, you know, you go, oh, you know. That was how my reaction. And then my oldest son started wrestling. And I love wrestling now. My other son was a basketball player. I was a basketball player. I'd never been exposed to wrestling. So if you're not a wrestling person, you need to find a friend if you're a dad. Because otherwise, you just get caught up and you yell dumb things. As a Quaker, pastor, kill him! Bust his little arm off and beat him with it! And everybody, so soon I realized that I needed help. So I realized there were dads who yelled good stuff. So I made friends with them. Some of them now come to church because they're so glad I'm not yelling, kill him. But I just listened to what they yelled. They were wrestlers. They knew, you know. And so what I do, I would sit with them, and sometimes they would yell kind of under their breath, and then I would just yell it louder. And I sounded intelligent. You know, throw the chicken wing. Who would yell that at a kid, you know? As a basketball player, I'm thinking we're eating wings, you know, and it's throw it across there. But, or, you know, so as partners come along beside us, when we're wrestling things, they yell encouragement. And sometimes it's just lift your shoulder, bridge. And if you don't know what they, you know, just you're down, you're hard-pressed. But as people come along, and when times are tough, and some of these people are people we've sat in Sunday school classes with for years, Some of them are buddies we hunt with or fish with. Some of them are people you've quilted with. What are quilting groups called? Is there a name for them? I've never been invited. Are they groupies? Are they quilters? But they come when it gets hard. Small groups, people you play fantasy football. You don't really play fantasy, whatever you do with that. But they're golfing buddies, ladies' Bible studies, men's prayer groups, worship teams, people you play in the church orchestra with. Suddenly they show up and they help you carry the load. Teammates, church league softball, some teammate. I was in Iowa City, Iowa, and I'd spent 5 or 6 nights there, and they were not user-friendly as far as people bunking in with their spouse, but I knew I couldn't leave. And the phone rings in the room, and it's a church person from Fairfield, and they say, "Hey, there's a homeless guy that's been there for about 12 hours. He's parked in his van out front. He's from Ohio." And I go, "Oh." They go, "Well, should we run him off, or what should we do?" I go, "Well, knock on his window and see if you can help him," and da da da. 10 minutes later, the phone rang. He says he knows you. He's from Ohio. He said he played soccer with you in college. He wants to hug you. I go, "What?" I go, "What's his name?" There's a pause. "I'll go find out." I go, they come back. "His name's Greg Beerbaum." I go, "Really?" I go, "Tell Greg I need a shower. I'll be home in an hour." You guys know Greg Beerbaum. Played college soccer with him. He heard about my wife. He drove from Ohio all night long. Didn't know where I was. Parked out in front of the church. Figured somebody would eventually come along. So I drove home. I took a shower. I invited Greg into the house. He grabbed me and hugged me. He told me he loved me and would be there for me. Then got back in his van and drove away. But I knew I had a teammate. I knew I had a partner, because sometimes times get tough. Folks, I know we've got Royce and Lois Kendall, but I'm going to have to go over their heads. The great therapist of the mid-80s, Crocodile Dundee, when dealing with somebody who was going through a hard time, he said, "Hasn't she got any mates? Hasn't she got any mates? Do you have somebody that will come along beside you, that you can talk to, that you can pour your heart out?" Because in this world, King Solomon, he was sharp, but I know I'm not that wise, but we need a partner. We need somebody who will reach out when we fall and will help us up. We need somebody who will, even when things are going well, will come along and sharpen us and help us to even better than we thought we were and can be better than what it's going now. So today, as you think about having the carpenters with us, we need to partner with them. As we think about our church in Mexico, our sister church in Sinaloa, and I haven't got the name down of the town. I'm working on it, but it sounds like a food to me, and I know it's not. Where's Trent? Trent, how do we say it again? Siete Tejidos. Siete Tejidos. And I just think, I want some chips and salsa. But I'm going on a trip with them, and by the time I get back, I'll have it down, and I'll know it's so much more than that. Secondly, we need to move along, because we got a business meeting. True teammates are a treasure, all right? Now, this is Jackie Robinson and Pee Wee Reese, and yes, it's a shameless promotion of the best team in baseball, the Dodgers. But, see, I knew there's some believers. So, but in the movie 42, and there's some how it really played out, but in Cincinnati, it was terrible. Things were coming out of the stands that should have never come out at any time. And Pee Wee Reese was a player, probably the Dodgers' best player at that time. He played shortstop, an all-star. And he walks over in the movie, and there's not sure, and he puts his arm around Jackie. And he says, "Thanks." Jackie looks at him, "What do you mean, thanks?" He says, "Thank you." He goes, "I got family up there." Pee Wee was from Louisville, Kentucky, just across the river there. He goes, "And they need to see me do this. You know, they need to see that I'm your teammate." And this is said to be true, that And sometime during that conversation, he says, maybe tomorrow we'll all wear 42 so they can't tell us apart. That's like, there's a teammate. We're all, he and Jackie kind of share a laugh. We're all wear 42. They won't be. And you know, now on Jackie Robinson Day, everybody in all of baseball, all teams, all players wear 42 with that in mind. But we need a true teammate. They can be a treasure, a loyal pal, a trusty companion, a dependable colleague, a reliable friend, a supportive sidekick. We need a Robin if you're Batman. We need a Scooby if you're a Shaggy. We need a Bert if you're an Ernie. And don't take my childhood from me. I still like Bert and Ernie. I'll start all kinds of rumors about those guys. Lone Ranger had Tonto. Did a little research. You know, there's a lot of stories out there what Kemosabe means. Supposedly in Potawatomi, it means trusted scout or faithful friend. In the 2013 version, they came up with the Comanche version. I think they might be mean wrong brother. We're not going with that one. But sometimes even the wrong brother who shows up at the right time can be a trusted friend and help us. I want to offer you the challenge this morning. Find at least one other person in your circle of influence, in your circle of friends, that you can invite to improving your life. Not just financially, but improving your quality of life, improving how you handle hardship, improving how you handle success. Now, if you're already married, this can be your spouse. But if you're married to somebody like me, they've got a lot of burden already. Okay? Brocky doesn't always have to fill that role for me. She's going to need a lot of help from some of you men out there. Okay? She's going to need a lot of help because I need a lot of help. There's some places to look. You can look in prayer groups that you pray with, in Bible studies, but there can also be people you just drink coffee with who hold some common spiritual ground. The best thing I can do for you this morning, if you want to grow spiritually, is to encourage you to find that person, or persons, but it's not more than a handful, and it's most likely not going to be more than two or three, but at least find one that will partner with you, where two can work together. And you say, I don't know, where do I find somebody like that? I've got two ideas this morning. One is there's a mission trip coming up to Sinaloa. And we're getting really close to having to draw the line that says we've got to buy tickets and we've got to go. But you're going to be sitting beside guys on a plane for a few hours. And then there's going to be a pretty good van ride probably, or maybe it's not a van. And it'll be bumpy, but you'll be jostling shoulders. And you're going to get to know some guys and work side by side and roll up some sleeves. And you're going to get to experience things like, hopefully not illness. But I'm going. That's a great place to meet some people. And Brocky mentioned it in the welcome time, and it's been on the overhead, and there's been all sorts of promo. There's two different retreats that our ladies can go on this year. And the retreats themselves are going to be fantastic. But the thing you don't want to miss out on is there's a pretty long bus ride involved, unless you're going to fly to Texas. And there's even a decent car ride out to Rocky Mountain. And some of the best things that happen in learning who your partners are or who your partners could be are on those trips. So if you're looking for somebody to say, I want to do more for the Lord this year than I did last year. I want to have a better year at being a professor this year than I did last year. Last year I just kind of got comfortable and coasted. I want to be a different student. I want to impact those that I rub shoulders with this year. Wherever you're lot in life, you say, you need to find some iron to sharpen you, somebody that will be your partner. And then the blessing of that is not only does that happen in areas of your lives, but when tough times come, and sometimes even before they come, these people who love you, who partner with you, who've rubbed shoulders with you, who've ridden great distances with you, who've heard you snore on the bus, those people, sometimes God, He touches their hearts, and they show up even before the trouble does. It's amazing. Where did they come from? And even though we're separated by oceans and thousands of miles, we can still partner with the carpenters. We can write checks. We can pray. We can send notes and emails and encouragement. We can partner and we can sharpen. Let's pray. God, today I am thankful for folks who have partnered with me. And God, I know I need new partners here, and there's going to be varied levels of that. God, I'm thankful for examples of partners that I've heard about already here in this congregation. And God, we think about it, it's a great tradition and a wonderful thing that we have a sister church, a church we partner with. And God, we get a lot out of that too, and maybe sometimes we don't realize that as a church that partners with another church in another part of the world. God, I'm also thankful for folks that I've heard testimonies of people who partnered with them in hard times and they had a hard time even talking about it, of what it meant to them. And God, we are so thankful for that too. And God, we pray that we would continue to feel your blessing as we work through things, as we go forward in life, as we go forward as a church, as we tackle new and bigger and better things, Lord, that we'll realize that we need others around us. And sometimes we think, well, I go to church, I go to Sunday school, I'm in this group, and sometimes those groups get pretty big. Lord, help us to have sharp eyes and listening ears and an open heart to who we can partner with, that our faith would grow, so that when someone falls, we can be there to lend a hand. When someone stumbles, we can help them up, not to judge, but to love them and to hug them and to make sure they're okay. And Father, that we might be people who sharpen each other. We pray this in Jesus' name. Amen. I am supposed to remind you there's going to be a quick meeting, a called congregational meeting. It's been announced the last couple weeks. I am not staying. I'm going to beat the rest of you to the cafeteria because I am part of that budget, so I'm not staying. But I would encourage you to stay. It's a lot easier to figure out what the meeting is. Marshall's saying he's either waving to me or saying 5 minutes or less. I don't know what that means, but it's starting 5 minutes. So you have 5 minutes to hug and love and shake hands and smile and all of that stuff. God bless you.